Now, instead of doing what most of us would do in this situation and finding a stick to flick it into a bush, my dutiful sister-in-law stressfully considered the words of the sign and glumly reverted to the only option she could think of. Before we dive in, a warning. The content of this podcast may not be appropriate for some young listeners. This is real life, and that means that sometimes it can be a little bit graphic. So listen on at your own peril. As a veterinarian, dog behaviorist, best-selling author, and trainer, over the past decade, I've had an obsession with transforming the behavior of dogs. Understanding their brains and creating practical strategies that you can implement easily at home. I know all too well when the dream you imagined when you first got your dog is far from your daily reality. In fact, out of the blue, a few months ago, my little dog Gorse was bitten by a dog 20 times her size. And suddenly our life of stress-free walks, a calm and cuddly household, and being teammates was replaced with reactivity, anxiety, and worrying about what's around the next corner. I'm Dr. Tom, this is the Help My Dog podcast, and this is me documenting that journey of transformation, sharing my knowledge and experience with you and having a few laughs along the way. Hello, HMD family. Welcome to this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. I'm going to dive right into it today. So I want to talk to you about this one dog lead or leash, depending on where you're listening, lesson that can change pulling on lead, can change reactivity, can change over excitement, and it's insanely simple, okay? And it's down to the fact that dogs are learning all the time. They're learning that the doorbell means someone's coming. They're learning that a knock on the door means someone's coming. They're learning the sound of the letterbox means that post is arriving. Like, their brains are geared towards cause and effect. Cause and effect. This leads to this, right? And this event leads to this emotion, this arousal level, this next step. And they're learning all the time. And that's why it can be tiring to be one step ahead of them. And one thing that dogs often learn about the lead or the leash is that when they feel tension, when the lead goes tight, when they feel the lead pulling back, right? It means a few different things. It means that potentially the energy of the situation is going up. It means that there's something up ahead that they could engage with. Because think about it, you pull on that lead when you see the dog in the distance, or when you see the person, or when you see the deer sprinting across the field, or, you know, anything. And you've probably done this in a lot of different contexts. They also learn that potentially there's something to worry about in the environment. You know, a lot of the dogs that we work with, you'll see the dogs do this thing. And the owner will be walking along and they'll be lead. The owner will kind of shorten the lead or tense the lead a little bit, or maybe pull back on the lead a little bit. And the dog goes, where's the danger? Where's the threat? Where's the thing to react to? Right? And some dogs, it'll even be to the point where you shorten up the lead and they just start barking and lunging, and they don't even know what they're barking and lunging at, because that pairing has happened again and again and again. And this learning that they've learned without us realizing that tension means engage forward, tension means up the energy, tension means fear, frustration, tension means high arousal. This can be the cause of their pulling on lead. It can be the cause of their overexcitement and the fact that they're not listening to you and it's like lights on, no one's home. It can be the cause of their reactivity. And the cool thing is that we can change it. Because just as they learn that the lead means engage forward, be worried or excited, and be high arousal, we can teach them that the lead means disengage. We can teach them that the lead means orient to me, disengage from what's up ahead and engage with me instead. We can teach them that lead tension means no emotion. Yeah, a non-event. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it does not happen. We can even teach them that lead tension means calmness. And imagine if you could teach your dog those lessons, well, probably they'd walk quite nicely on a lead. Yeah, if they see a distraction, you can easily disengage them from that distraction, because now your default human response to like shorten the lead suddenly actually means something useful, and your dog goes, oh yeah, I know what that means, I'm gonna orient to my owner, I'm disengaging from what's up ahead. And they start to listen, and they start to be responsive, and that's not just listen to what's coming out of your mouth, that's listen to the energy that's coming down that lead inadvertently, right? But it's going to happen because we're humans and, you know, sometimes we can't control our body parts, yeah? When we're stressed, that's totally fine. We may as well control what we can control, which is what our dog understands about the behaviours that we do and the choices that we make. So, how are we going to do it? Well, I think first things first, we need to set a bit of a baseline. And the baseline is pop your lead on your dog now and just notice how their behavior changes when you have the long lead, when you shorten that lead up, when you maybe apply a bit of gentle tension through that lead. Notice how their arousal level, their emotional state, their behavior changes. And I bet you'll see it. Yeah, even at home, you will see it, let alone when you go outside. And then what we're going to do is we're going to now teach them that when they feel lead tension, you're going to deliver a piece of their food, okay? So what we're saying is lead tension doesn't predict something bad, doesn't predict danger. It predicts a positive outcome, and that's food from you, and it is from you, right? It's not from the environment. This is level one. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna walk around, and initially you're just gonna apply a bit of tension, feed your dog, apply a bit of tension, feed your dog, apply a bit of tension, feed your dog, apply a bit of tension, feed your dog. You're rewiring your dog's brain, right? You're going to do that at home. You're going to start to take it to your front garden, your back garden, maybe the street outside your house. Then what we're going to do is we're going to say lead tension means disengage from what's up ahead and instead engage with me. Now, in order to do this, your dog needs to first know a particular strategy or game or skill that we play a lot in the Help My Dog online hub, which is like the online membership where there's a vault of games and strategies and lessons where I teach you how to transform your dog's behavior in a community and live teaching every week. It's really cool. Get involved if ever you can, because then I can make it my mission to get you to your dog owning dream, right? And it's a rewind. Now, if you're not familiar with a rewind, I've prepared some special teaching for you. And this teaching literally gives you the step-by-step of how to teach your dog to do a rewind. And what a rewind is it says, disengage from what's in front of you right now and engage with me and love doing it. How useful would that be in transforming your dog's reactivity, your dog's chase struggles? Maybe your dog's a super sniffy dog and they don't listen to you because their nose is glued to the ground the whole time, right? That's normal, it's fine. A rewind would fix all of those things. And it's a simple game that you can teach your dog it probably in about 3 minutes. And I've got a video step-by-step of how to do it. And you can get that, guys, by going to helpmydog.com/rewind. That's helpmydog.com/rewind. And I'll show you practically how to do it with a dog. And I'll also explain the why it's important. I'll explain the why it works in that video as well. And that's our gift from us to you. So helpmydog.com/rewind. Once your dog knows a rewind, what you're going to do is you're going to say when you feel lead tension, that means I want you to rewind. In other words, when you feel lead tension, disengage from what's in front of you, orient to me in a calm and confident way. And when you do that, you're going to get rewarded. And you're going to practice that at home and you're going to build it out to different places. So guys, I guess the thing that I want to share with you on this episode of the podcast is it does. Often with behavior, it's simple. Often with behavior, it's like, oh, I see why my dog's doing what they're doing because they've learned this particular thing and it makes sense why they've learned it. What do I want to teach them instead? You're going to learn that in the video teaching that I've prepared for you. That's helpmydog.com/rewind. If you're driving, when you're listening to this, watch it later, okay? Because you're going to have to really focus and I don't want any crashes. And we'll do some cringe stories in a second, so stay tuned. And then what you're going to do is you're going to pair that game with the lead tension, and it's going to transform these struggles of pulling on lead, reactivity, generally not listening, generally being a little bit overexcited on walks, and it's going to give you a way of effectively communicating with your dog that doesn't involve telling your dog off, intimidating your dog, using any crazy tool that somebody's telling you to use. Doesn't need to be that way. It can be force-free and it can be real life. Now, on the subject of real life, you thought I'd forgotten. We've got some cringe stories. So this segment of the podcast is for everybody to be reminded that we didn't ask for robots to enter our lives, so we shouldn't be surprised that we don't have a robot. We should celebrate the fact that we've got a dog that sometimes gets us into trouble, sometimes does embarrassing things, sometimes makes us laugh and also cry at the same time. That is the journey of dog ownership, and that is what we signed up for. And Madeline is the keeper of the cringe stories. You email them into us, we then showcase them, we anonymize them so that nobody knows who it is, right? Because sometimes there have been some shocking things on this podcast, right? And if you've got a shocking dog owning story, just email cringe@helpmydog.com. cringe@helpmydog.com, email it in, you might get picked, you might win a prize. All right, so cringe story number one. I want to tell you a story about my beautiful, beloved, dog of a lifetime dog, Bella. Bella was a rescued Staffy Cross German Shepherd who never intentionally put a paw wrong and who spoiled us for life as she was the best trained old girl that we could possibly have asked for. On the day in question, we headed out for a walk. There was a public footpath behind our house which went through the very bottom of a private property, manor house type house. On the stile was a notice that read, "Please put your dogs on lead. This right of way goes through our garden." However, me being the cocky teenager I was, I thought, that doesn't apply to us. Bella would never stray away from me, and I continued to have her off lead. The footpath was lined on either side by a few shrubs, but no real boundary. I could see the owner about 30 feet away, merrily tending his garden. Oh no. Bella went to and fro in the bushes, having a little sniff, and I happily walked behind. But then I lost sight of Bella for a couple of seconds, and I couldn't really locate her until all I could hear was very loud clucking, followed by rustling bushes and then loud panting going past me nearby, closely followed by shouts of, "Hey, hey, get away from there. Get your dog on lead." Zigzagging back and forth across the footpath and back into the undergrowth, I saw two panicked chickens, hotly pursued by Bella, hotly pursued by the owner of the house. Oh no! Knowing that Bella was not very fast and was very unlikely to actually catch a chicken, instead of swallowing my pride and coming forward to join the parade and try to get Bella on a lead, I shrunk back behind the hedge each time the owner came past. Oh my word! At an opportune moment, the next time Bella came near me, I pounced and got her back on the lead and hot-footed it over the stile, never revealing my identity to the furious owner. Oh my word, that is shocking! That is shocking. Right, before I knew about games-based dog training and Help My Dog, I wasn't the owner that shouted, "He's friendly." But Bob, not his real name, a working cocker, definitely didn't have the skills for the situations I exposed him to. When you know better, you do better, right? Absolutely. At least some of us, because the lady in the last story definitely knew better and did not do better. Anyway, one fine day, we were out off lead in a common dog walking area. Bob didn't recall to go through what is essentially an area of blind basin. What's a blind basin?
I don't know. I thought maybe it was like another country thing that we don't have here.
I don't know. A blind basin. I'm excited to learn. To my horror, as the panorama expanded out of the dip, still shouting his name, Bob is to be seen in full flight, hurtling towards a collie, trotting along nicely in the other direction. He takes a wide, barky circle of said collie, who completely ignored Bob, and rockets back towards a second collie who is sitting beautifully by his owner's side as they watch the show. Having swooped around the second dog at full tilt, I gave up trying to recall and made a dash for it, intercepting young Bob, thankfully only 13 kilos. 13 kilos, still fair weight, with what can only be described as a goal save. As I landed on my side and came to rest, I look up to see what felt like a pretty smug partnership watching on. I got back on his lead, picked myself up off the ground, and made my way, red-faced and humiliated, past the still-staring pair, Bob looking at me as if to say, "What's the problem, Mum? That was great." As, head low, I cursed under my breath, vowing never to go there again. I was so embarrassed. Let's be honest. Raise your hand if you're listening. Have you ever had to rugby tackle your dog? Right? I'm sure every dog owner has had to do this at some point. All right. Hi, Tom and Madeline. Here's a story not about me, but about my lovely sister-in-law, who is a very conscientious member of the community. One day, she was taking her dog Flossie for a walk along the coast, which was a National Trust walk. Signs along the way asked owners to please pick up their dog's waste and take it away. Walking along, having a lovely time, Flossie chose a quiet moment to do her number twos, and my sister-in-law was unflustered, as she is always prepared for every eventuality, and she reached into her perfectly packed pocket up for a poo bag. However, she had forgotten that she had recently washed her coat, and all of her pockets were empty. Worrying about the poo police, suggested by the signs. Worrying about the poo police, suggested by the signs, she frantically dug through her jean pockets for anything for a poo picker-upper. A tissue, a receipt, anything. Sadly, to no avail. I know where this is going. Now, instead of doing what most of us would do in this situation and finding a stick to flick it into a bush, my dutiful sister-in-law stressfully considered the words of the sign and glumly reverted to the only option she could think of. And, reaching down with grim focus, she grabbed the warm poo with her bare hand and carried it to the edge of the cliff. It's got very dramatic. And carried it to the edge of the cliff and flung it off. Needless to say, she sprinted back to the toilets in the car park and scrubbed her hands until they were red raw. I would just forevermore think that I had not scrubbed enough. That hand would be dead to me. It would be like, I'm never using that hand again. When she told us about this story, we couldn't breathe laughing. We only wish that the poo police had been monitoring the area with CCTV. Imagine the conflict in her face. Like, should I? Shouldn't I? It's the only choice. Amazing. Nicely done, guys. So, guys, that was this episode of the Help My Dog podcast. I want to make sure you watch that rewind teaching. It is transformational. So all you've got to do is head to helpmydog.com/rewind and you can check it out there. I explain the why and I show you the what to do very practically to teach your dog how to disengage from things in front and how you can take control and actually say to your dog, hey, disengage from what's up ahead, and they go, okay, I love doing that. If you found this episode useful, please leave us a review, please share it with friends. We will see you next time. Have an amazing week, guys.